Hey guys, welcome back to the All In Podcast. This is episode 42. I am back after missing last Thursday's episode, but Coop held it down with Coach Kelch Live, came on and hung out with him. But I missed you, Coop. It's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, you too, man. You too. We had a fun episode, but it's not the same without you, bro.
It's not the same, I know. And I listened, and I was like, you know, they just need like a little something from a sassy little white guy. You know what I mean? So it was a good episode, though. It was a good episode, but so we're back. We missed a lot. We haven't talked since last Monday. So in that time, a lot has changed in NBA specifically. We're going to be talking about that shortly. But first, we're talking NFL. So if you're watching on YouTube, this will be the NFL episode, and then you can check out the NBA episode if you didn't watch it live. We'll be going live with that one. If you're listening on audio, it'll be same episode here. So we are going to be talking NFL week three. It was a big week on Sunday. We will start with the Sunday night game. It was probably one of the biggest matchups of the day. The Packers beat the Saints 37-30. Aaron Rodgers, man, he is looking fantastic. The Packers are really clicking on all cylinders. Give us your thoughts on Sunday night football game.
Yeah, I mean, I took the Packers in this one, assuming that Michael Thomas is going to be out, because I think they are better, even if Devontae Adams didn't play, because they're better equipped, mm-hmm. right, to play without their star receiver. I think the Saints offense is heavily reliant on Michael Thomas, and now load has fallen to Kamara, who has handled it well. He's played well, but outside of that, granted, they put up 30 points last night, but their offense just doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. And defensively, they clearly have some issues. The Raiders kind of lit them up last week, and then the Packers go for 37 here. But really, this tells me more about the Packers, man. Aaron Rodgers has been lights out to start the season, and better than I expected. You know, not because I thought he lost a step or he wasn't good, but I didn't think that he would quite have this kind of volume as far as throwing the ball, because he hasn't over the last few years. They haven't really thrown the ball that much. But this year they've kind of, it looks like the old Aaron Rodgers, really.
Yeah.
That we used to see during his MVP days, is he looks that good. And they got some big contributions from guys, who's had to step up with Devontae Adams being out. Alan Lazard was incredible. 6 catches, 146 yards and a touchdown. In this one. So, it's kind of what I expected from the Packers. I really like this team. I think they're NFC champion good.
Oh, wow.
So I legitimately think they could make it to a Super Bowl. So, big win for them. I'm impressed. Saints so far looking a little shaky. I mean, they're probably hoping to get Michael Thomas back as soon as possible.
Yeah,
but it's not looking good on the other side.
Yeah, not at all. And, Drew Brees, I think if we just looked at the stat line after the game, if you didn't watch the game, you might think he might have had an okay game. But a lot of that was, I think over half of his throws were just checkdowns to Kamara. And as a Kamara fantasy owner, I was enjoying it last night. But, he does have a little bit of the noodle arm right now. He's got no zip on the ball. No zip. Throwing the ball downfield. If it's more than 10 yards down the field, he's got no zip on it. I think that's a serious problem for them. Even when Michael Thomas comes back, and I think Michael Thomas, people say what they want about him, and he's one of the best receivers in the league. Of course, he does make most of his living on those little slant routes and quick routes. So maybe it's not as bad, and Breeze can find him. But anything down the field, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And the Saints were a team that, coming into the year, I really don't remember who I had in the Super Bowl, but I feel like it might have been the Saints. And I feel like a lot of people had the Saints. 1-2 start this year. Let me ask you this. Is it Jameis time?
Well, yeah, it's funny because we talked about this with Couch Coach in the last episode. What would the record need to be to start looking at Jameis? I think it's a bit early at 1-2. Now, if they're sitting at 0-3, I think you're having a different discussion. But at 1-2, I think you still have a little bit of leeway there. And they've had some relatively tough games. I mean, the Raiders are no slouch, for sure. And you know, maybe you're thinking, well, when we get Michael Thomas back, we'll reevaluate Drew Brees and see what he looks like then. But like you said, even without, you know, even with Michael Thomas, I should say, sorry, that arm just doesn't look good. There's nothing stretching the field for them. Jameis, I would tell Jameis to be ready. That's what if I was in his corner, I'd be like, yo, be ready. This guy, you know, it looks like Father Time is catching up to the starter here. And so I'd give it 2 more weeks. And if you're 1-4 after those 2 weeks, I think you have to go to Jameis.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, if the Saints are 1-4 after all the high hopes we have for them this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, for that to be the way Drew Brees goes out, you know, it's kind of sad. Like, all of these pro athletes, you know, they're going to end up going out like this. You know, most of them don't hang it up. Like, Jordan hung it up. And then he came back. But when he hung it up, he was really good. But most of the time, they don't hang it up. They want to hang on. And then eventually, if they're a quarterback, they get the noodle arm. Or if they're a basketball player, they're, you know, relegated to spot up in the corner. Like, everybody gets to this point. Is this the breaking point? I don't know. Is it only because Michael Thomas hasn't played in the past 2 weeks? I don't know. Because, you know, they won week one against the Bucs team and against the Bucs defense, they had pretty good success. And we're looking at the Bucs defense, and there might be one of the best defenses in the NFL. So is Michael Thomas the determining factor? Or is he someone who is so good that he can almost carry his quarterback? We talk about quarterbacks carrying receivers most of the time, and the other way around, where receivers getting angry when quarterbacks are so bad. Might need this receiver to actually carry the quarterback at this rate. So Michael Thomas is probably going to be back next week. So I think that's probably going to be a better, you know, we'll get a better feeling of what Drew Brees is able to do, at least with Michael Thomas, you know. But he's, you know, he still has Emmanuel Sanders. Jared Cook is a very capable tight end, and he's dumping down to Kamara a lot. Now, Emmanuel Sanders probably is a little bit disappointed that I think when he came there, he probably was expecting to get the ball down the field a little bit more. That's not going to happen, and that's not good for Emmanuel Sanders fantasy owners. So, but we really like the Packers. The Packers are 3-0 and clicking on all cylinders. And let me ask you this. This will be the last thing we talk about this game. Do you think – this is my conspiracy theory. I have quite a few of them. Do you think the Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round for the sole purpose of lighting a fire under Aaron Rodgers' ass and just firing him up? Because it has worked if that's what they were doing. Probably not.
I mean, maybe that was a small factor into it, but I think they were really looking at more like what they did with Aaron Rodgers when you go back through their history. You know, they drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round when they still had Brett Favre. And he sat for what, a good 2-3 years? Yeah, something like that.
Favre wouldn't go away.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, eventually it was Aaron. And when Aaron Rodgers eventually stepped in, he was great, like, immediately for them. So maybe they're kind of like, okay, well, if history tells us anything, learning from a great quarterback, you know, is very beneficial for a backup. So why not take this guy that we like, sit him for 2 or 3 years, and eventually have him replace Aaron? Now, I understand why Aaron was upset, because, you know, obviously the Packers needed, you know, things. But look, obviously, the organization had faith in Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and they both have played very well to start the season. And again, like I said, Lazard was great last night without Davante Adams. So I think he has enough weapons to kind of justify where the Packers are like, look, you know, you didn't really need a receiver. You know, we had him right here. You just needed to get them the ball. So, I think it's paid off for them so far. They're looking pretty good.
Yes, they are. So they're looking really good. Saints, a little bit shaky so far. We'll see how it goes when Michael Thomas comes back. Let's move into our next game. This is the game I was most excited to talk about. My Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Texans this week, 28-21, improved to 3-0. Texans go to 0-3. So kind of two polar opposites. I think this was a game a lot of people were looking in coming into this week, and saying, you know, the Texans finally, maybe they'll get a win this week after playing the Chiefs and the Ravens in the first 2 weeks. Go ahead, give us your thoughts on Steelers-Texans.
Well, again, I think we have to give the Texans a little bit of a pass here because the Steelers are a good team.
Yes.
Like, this is a team that could challenge for the AFC North at bare minimum and potentially win the AFC depending on health and obviously other factors going forward. But to me, they're one of the best teams in the league. And
I like that.
Especially with a healthy James Conner that they've had over the last 2 weeks, because their running game, and no disrespect to Benny Snell, who is a serviceable backup for Conner when he's hurt, but James Conner brings a different level to this run game when he's healthy, and it pays off. And then obviously Big Ben being healthy is great for everybody. So the offense is clicking. It takes a little bit sometimes for them to get going, but you know, they've got certainly enough talent. Now, Deontay Johnson's concussion situation is unfortunate because he was having a very good start to the season. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But like, from the Texans standpoint, even sitting at 0-3, I'm still looking at this like, dude, their schedule gets so much easier after this. Like, really all they have to do is just kind of push out that losing mentality, right? That kind of stuff like sets in early amongst a lot of like, you know, younger players and really just players who don't have that like mental toughness, right? They're sitting at 0-3 and losing starts to become a habit at that point, right? You've gone 21 days to start the season without getting a win. It starts to get tough to really expect yourselves to just turn it around, even with your schedule getting easier. If they can kind of fight out that mental aspect of it, I think the Texans will be fine.
Yeah.
But like all three teams that they've played so far are undefeated. So up until the Monday night game, obviously one of those teams will lose unless there's a draw, which we'll get to. But, up until the Monday night game, every team that they played was Super Bowl caliber, if you ask me. So it's just an extremely rough start to the season for the Texans. And you kind of have to feel for him. And like Deshaun Watson, I don't think was bad. He got sacked five times. That's not great. But again, the Steelers defense is very good. One of the best in the league. So, you know, they just got to stay the course.
Yeah. I would say right now the best in the league actually for that Steelers defense, the pressure that they were getting on Deshaun Watson, like sacked five times. He probably could have easily been sacked 9 or 10 times. Like, they were in his face the whole game, and he was able to escape and buy time. One of them led to a pick, actually, but a couple of them led to big plays when he was able to buy time and get around those edge rushers. He did a nice job stepping up in the pocket a lot of the time. The defense was just too much for the Steelers. And then the offense, you mentioned James Conner. Like, he has been a big improvement this season. He's eradicated the fumbling problem that he had last year. Granted, it's only been 3 games, so we'll see where it goes from here. But if, you know, and the Texans, you know, again, it's hard to gauge them these first 2-3 weeks of the season because they played the Ravens, they played the Chiefs, and now the Steelers. But they were giving up 5 yards a carry coming into this game. That continued. They were not able to stop the run at all. Ben, you know, I think when we're talking about these old quarterbacks and we're talking about Breeze and Brady and Phillip Rivers, I think Ben looks better than the other three. Now, maybe, you know, you can make a case for Brady, I guess, but probably I'd go with Ben right now. And I think this Steelers team, I'm not going to make bold predictions yet, but you give me one more week. We got the Titans next week, and I might be making bold predictions about this team. But the Texans, I think, you know, they're 0-3. They played probably, you know, I think definitely Kansas City and Baltimore, we think of them as the two best teams in the AFC. Steelers might be that third team. Maybe it's Buffalo. It's been tough for them. I think it's going to come down to those AFC South matchups. When they play Tennessee, when they play Indianapolis, those are the games that are going to decide their season. You know, 0-3 is not unrecoverable. It makes it really tough. But Deshaun Watson, if anybody can do it, he's one of the 5 or 6 that could probably do it. So, yeah. All right, let's go from my team to your team then. And you mentioned the draw. The Eagles tied with the Bengals. Again, they did that before, like, was that 8 years ago they did that or more than that with McNabb?
It was, back in that,
yeah, when he didn't know the rule, he didn't know the tie rule, they tied with the Bengals. So the Eagles tied with the Bengals. We were texting about this on Sunday. Go ahead, let it off your chest, bud.
it's frustrating to watch this team, man. And you know, we're going to do an all in, all out segment later on here in the show. But I'm going to say right now that I'm out on Carson Wentz.
And again,
I've been, you can ask my family group chat. Me and Robbie have been like Carson Wentz, like apologists for 3 years now, or whenever they last lost, whenever they won. Well, we've been going to bat for Carson Wentz, and I have nothing for him. Like, if there was ever a game where, you know, you needed to just step up, and granted, he got the game tying touchdown, but then they were awful in overtime. It's just like,
terrible.
I don't know what it is. He can't consistently move the ball for the Eagles through the air, and doesn't matter who's healthy at this point. And granted, that's been an issue, but like really the only receiver you've been missing for the most part of the last 2 weeks was Alshon Jeffrey. Like, DeSean Jackson was fully healthy last week. You had Goddard, you had Ertz, you had Rager last week. Like, all those guys were healthy and you still were pretty bad. And this week against I don't think you even needed your receiving core to be fully healthy against this Bengals team. Which, like, granted, I don't think their defense is terrible, but, you know, I mean, if the Browns can put up points on them, why can't we? You know,
right.
And that's just the frustrating part about it is there's been clear regression. He's inaccurate. He's not even really able to make the throws anymore, which wasn't the issue before.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was kind of, you know, holding the ball or drop passes. Now it's like he's not even putting the ball where it needs to be. There was a Twitter video. Someone did a breakdown of it was like a 2 minute breakdown of him against Washington, just like making the right reads, going through his progressions correctly, making the right throws, but missing on the throws. Yeah. And it's just like, how do you fix that? You know what I mean? Like, in the middle of the season, how do you fix that? Is that something that can be fixed in the middle of the season? I don't know.
I don't know either.
You know, and it's good to see someone going through their progressions and making the right throws. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be able to put the ball where it needs to be in order to move the football. And he's not doing that right now. Maybe the Jalen Hurts draft pick is sitting in the back of his mind and making him tense up. Maybe it's a psychological thing. Maybe he can't shake the ghost that is Nick Foles, who revived himself this weekend.
How about it?
And, you know, of course he knew nothing about that, but like at the end of the day, he's forever going to be compared amongst Philly fans to Nick Foles.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like,
no doubt.
Week in, week out, when he plays bad, they're going to say, man, we should have kept Nick Foles. And maybe that kind of stuff is in the back of his head and is kind of causing the yips. You know what I mean? Like, to where he's just not the same. He's not the same quarterback he was before the ACL injury. Even last year, like, I thought he was pretty good last year, given the receiving core that he had.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good. And this year it's just like, you know, he doesn't look anywhere near as good as he was last year to start the season. And, you know, Peterson has said he's still our guy. He's not entertaining the Jalen Hurts thing, but I'm sure in the back of Peterson's mind, he's thinking, well, this tune could change in 2 weeks. Right. So, you know, you don't draft a guy like Jalen Hurts in the second round and expect him to sit when you're 0-4, 0-4-1 or whatever they might be at that point.
Right. And then that's part of it too, is, and something I was going to mention with the Eagles is, like, they're 0-3, right? Well, we don't expect Washington to be anywhere near 500 towards the end of the year. The Giants are a mess. The Cowboys are now 1-2. So the Eagles aren't out of it, right? They're a game back of first place in the NFC East. If they could just figure something out with Wentz. But if I'm Peterson, right, the question becomes, okay, I'm one game back of, you know, being first place in this division. Do I stick with Wentz, you know, experienced guy at this point? You know, this is his, what, third or fourth year in the league. Do I stick with this guy, or do I say I'm only one game back? If I make this change now, before it's too late, we could seriously be in this thing. So that's a question he's going to have to ask himself. And, you know, maybe we start to see Hurts a little bit more. I think they showed him in Wildcat at least once in this game. right. You know, getting out there at least and touching the ball. So the Wentz thing is just sad. I don't get it. And even the overtime thing was crazy too. Like, they had a real chance. Like, all they needed was a field goal. Like, they were down there. And even, like, if, you know, they botched it. The last drive there towards the end, they botched it. And they end up, and it's, like, fourth down. But, like, even when it's fourth down, like, and you're at the 45 or 50-yard line, and there's 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 seconds left, whatever it was.
It was 19.
19 seconds left. Like, why don't you go for it and try to do this? Like, just try to win. Like, worst case scenario, you don't pick up the fourth down, and the Bengals get the ball at midfield, and they have either a Hail Mary or a quick play and a 60-yard field goal. Like, right. That's the worst that could happen. Like, just go for it. Like, just show that you want to win the game. And Peterson didn't do that. Wentz did it on one play when he ran in for that game-tying touchdown. Right. But then in overtime, it was just totally flat. It was just so flat. So I agree with you. I think Wentz played pretty well last year, especially given, like you said, the receivers and how bad the receivers he did have played. Right. I think he played pretty well, and that was a reason that me and you both picked him to win this division. But if he's going to be this bad, there's no way that they can win this division. I mean, even if you watch the Cowboys against the Seahawks, like, yes, the Cowboys are 1-2, but if you watch them against the Seahawks, like, they're a lot better than the Eagles right now.
Yeah, by far. By far. And so, last thing, because we got to move on. But what doesn't make sense to me either is, like, you gave Wentz the extension, right? So now it's going to be, like, impossible to move him or trade him and get, like, nearly the value that you would think or you could have gotten on him at any point. Yeah. So you're kind of stuck with him at this point, unless you cut him and take that hit, whatever. Why would you give him an extension and then use a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts? And, like, granted, I get it. Like, Wentz gets hurt a lot, so you have a good backup. But, like, you can't pay a 26-year-old in a 5-year or 6-year extension, whatever he got, $100 million extension, and then waste a second-round pick. Not waste, but, like, spend a second-round pick on a quarterback. Like, to me, that's backwards. And really, if you were going to invest in a young quarterback that high in the draft, why would you not have kept Foles? You know what I mean? The older guy. And had Jalen Hurts sit under him, you know what I mean, for a year or two. That would have made a ton more sense. You would have saved a lot more money and probably been able to invest that into other areas of the team. Mm-hmm. And now you're stuck with a guy like Wentz, which is this contract's going to turn into a bad one. And granted, like, NFL players get cut regardless of what contracts, but, like, you're still going to have to kick out a ton of guaranteed money that you might not have had to, even if you end up cutting him in a year or two, whenever that inevitably happens.
Right.
You know, so it just, the Eagles this is the kind of things that happen with Philadelphia sports team that just frustrate me. That kind of stuff that just
does. Philadelphia sports teams and I'm a big baseball fan. The Phillies needed to win 2 out of their last 8 to make the playoffs. And they went 1-7. Oh, I love these Philadelphia sports teams, man. They are just hilarious to watch. So let's we're gonna move on. We're gonna do a semi-rapid round of All In or All Out. A little play on our podcast name, All In. All In, All Out. Let's actually start then with the guy you just mentioned, Nick Foles, who came in this week for Mitch Trubisky. Led the Bears to a big comeback win against the Falcons. The Falcons blow another game. Dan Quinn, I haven't heard he's fired yet. I'm kind of shocked about that. Maybe they're waiting one more week. But Nick Foles has been named the starter going forward for the Bears. Are you all in or all out on Nick Foles?
For the Bears, I'm all in. For the Bears, I'm all in on Nick Foles being their starter. Mostly you. You were ahead of this, like, don't buy into the Mitchell Trubisky hype just yet, even though he had played well. And really, I didn't think he was awful against the Falcons. Like, granted, they were down, but, like, I didn't think it was his fault. And Nick Foles stepped in, and then the comeback happens. And this is, like, what Nick Foles does, right? You know what I mean? This is where
Big Dick Nick.
This is where he thrives, man, is when he just comes in and you know, makes a ton of plays and then eventually like keeps that hot streak going. I don't know what it is about him. When he comes in, but like when he comes in as like the starter, he's not good. No. Right. When he's like the clear cut go-to guy, like the Jaguars planned for him last year and he wasn't good. I mean, granted he got hurt, but even when he came back, he was not good. And now it's just like, all right, well, now I'm taking over for another young QB. Mm-hmm. So it's time for me to show these kids how it's done or whatever. I don't know. It's maybe this, he has like old man thing in his head.
I love this guy.
I don't know, but you know, Nick Foles, I'm certainly all in on Nick Foles for the Bears. I think he's an upgrade for them.
I think he's definitely an upgrade. And I think the way that the move happened, you're right, Mitch actually wasn't playing that bad. It was 26-10. And really, the way the Falcons play, you could have argued Mitch could have made that comeback himself. But I think it kind of showed Matt Nagy wanted Foles to be the starter. And he was looking for the first opportunity to do that. And this was it. Big Dick Nick came through, and now he's the starter. So let's move on. Next one, Josh Allen. They beat the Rams. They were killing the Rams. They blew this huge lead to the Rams. And then Josh Allen ended up leading them on this long drive, and they scored the game-winning touchdown with, I think, less than 15 seconds left. Josh Allen, MVP discussions. Are you all in or all out?
I am all out on MVP discussions.
Yeah.
But I'm all in on Josh Allen being – a capable quarterback that can win the Bills the division, even with the Patriots looking pretty good so far, actually looking very good with Cam under center. I think the Bills legitimately can win this division. Josh Allen has been great. I think there's going to be a few other guys that will end up having better seasons than him when it comes to that MVP race. But I'm all in on Josh Allen, the quarterback, but out on the MVP.
I am all out on Josh Allen for MVP, most definitely. He's just not going to be able to put up the statistics to match some of these other guys.
If
me being all in on Josh Allen means that he's a game manager, you know, good enough to win with a really good defense, then sure, I'm all in. Do I think he's ever going to be that guy? No, I don't. He's still pretty inaccurate. This was nice, though. This was a nice win, and Jalen Ramsey and him have a little rivalry, so good for him. I'm tough on quarterbacks. I'm just you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't get much respect from me. Because to me, you have to win one playoff game. You win one playoff game, and then maybe we can talk. So until then, I'm still out.
Yeah.
Let's do Russell Wilson for MVP. This one is getting a lot of steam. I'm all in. I'll go quick on this one. I'm all in for sure on this.
I don't have any poker chips here, but yeah, I'm all in. by far, I'm all in on Russell Wilson being the MVP. I think he has a stranglehold on it right now, and I don't see why that would stop. The hashtag let Russ cook is in full effect.
Yep.
And boy, is he cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And Seattle looks really good right now. So, yes, all in on Russ for MVP.
Absolutely. I think it's right now it's probably him and Aaron Rodgers is the top two. Okay, last one. This one's a team, the Cleveland Browns, and the reason that they're even brought up here, they're 2-1. They haven't really beaten anybody. They beat the teams with the 1-2 picks last year in Cincinnati and Washington, but they're over 500 for the first time in like 4 years, actually 6 years. So, are we all in or all out on the Browns this year?
I'm all in, baby. All in on the Browns. as far as them making the playoffs, I'm all in on a 9-7 Browns team making the playoffs this year. Or 10-6, whatever. No, probably 9-7. You know, making the and them making the playoffs. I think they've kind of figured out like Baker Mayfield isn't that good, but like if we keep giving the ball to Chubb and Kareem Hunt, people won't notice how not good he is.
Right.
You know, because then he could just hit play action passes and things like that. They're starting to get OBJ a little more involved. He certainly got more involved against the Bengals and. Pretty average game this week. But yeah, I mean, that running game between Chubb and Kareem Hunt is lethal. And, you know, I think that's a recipe for success.
Yep. I was in on the Browns before the year to make the playoffs, as were you, I think, to probably get in one of those wild card spots with the expanded playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Give me one more week. Give me one more week. I just want to see how they do. You know, Cincinnati's obviously not that good. And Washington. You know, I thought Washington might be a nice test because of the defensive line that they have, but then Chase Young gets hurt in the first quarter. So we don't really get to see what I was really looking to see out of Cleveland. But I think you're 100% right about Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And, you know, I've said this probably a dozen times on this podcast now, but the Kevin Stefanski thing with coming from Minnesota and that system, that works for Baker, right? Kirk Cousins, yep. You know, if he is a slightly better version of Kirk Cousins, the Browns are going to be pretty good. Yeah. So I right now I got him as a playoff team. I want to see one more week here, give him a good test, and then we can reconvene.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that is all we have for All In, All Out. Coop, you got anything else for us?
I do. You know who else I'm all in on?
Who's that?
Tavon's Lawn Care.
Me too.
I'm really all in on Tavon's Lawn Care. It's a black-owned business here in my hometown, Newark, PA. Led by Tavon Parker, a good friend of mine. They do some excellent work in the community. You can actually find their Instagram. It's at Tavon's Lawn Care and see some of the work that they do. It's incredible. I think I'm going to have them come pull up this garden that Holly swore she was going to put, you know, or grow food in, and never happened. So, you know, I think we're probably going to have them come out and rip that up. So, yeah, I'm all in on Tavon's Lawn Care. So if you're watching this and you're either like me and too lazy to cut your own lawn, or if you just don't have the time, hit up Tavon's Lawn Care and contact them to get a free quote today.
Awesome. Yeah, support local businesses, support black-owned businesses. They're probably paying more taxes than the president is. So go support. They need to support, and so we are going to wrap up this NFL segment, and we'll be right back, and we're going to be talking NBA on our live show.
See you guys.
All right, so we are live, and the reason we are live is to talk NBA. There's a lot going on right now if you guys aren't following NBA, and we are starting with breaking news. Literally, like right before we came live, the Clippers announced that Doc Rivers will not be back next year as head coach. We are just hearing of this, so instant reaction, Coop. Doc Rivers fired.
You know, I'm not all that shocked, to be honest with you. You know, this is something that we actually talked about right after they lost. Was were we in or out on Doc Rivers? We both were out, and so were the Clippers, apparently. So it's kind of expected. You blew a 3-1 lead to a team that on paper was not as good as you. Right. You know, so I'm not surprised. Now I am interested to see where they go from here. Because as you know, granted, I don't think he's the best coach in the league, but like the best coaches in the league probably won't be available. I certainly don't think Mike D'Antoni, would be an option for them. He looks poised to take the Sixers job. You know, we'll get to that maybe. But, you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where the Clippers go from here because how many coaches are actually better than Doc Rivers? Like, you know, there's probably only 4 or 5 in the league. You know, when you look at possibly like Nurse, maybe Stevens.
Probably Stevens.
Definitely Pop, right? Definitely Kerr. So it's a small group of guys that you're looking at there that are Spo, right? But none of those guys are going to be available here,
right?
So it's maybe they're thinking Sam Cassell is the right guy, maybe they move him up, maybe they like Ty Lue, I don't know. You know, they're kind of from the Doc Rivers coaching tree, so I don't know if that necessarily makes sense, but. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. And I wonder if Kawhi signed off on this or if they even cared.
Well, I'm sure he did, right? At some point, they probably asked him, which is what I was thinking this. And I think when you think Doc, you know, obviously he's highly respected and we never want to see anybody get fired. But we did talk about how this is a recurring thing with him in the playoffs. And he did get that one chip, but... you know, obviously the success hasn't been there and it wasn't there this time. And there was a lot of stuff going on in that locker room. You know, Sam Cassell, I think, and Ty Lue are probably the two names that you think of first. That's exactly who I went to first. I'm thinking, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But let me put on my hot take hat, as I'm known to do from time to time. You know, we have talked kind of extensively about the Raptors and what they do now. You know, do they blow this up? Do they trade Siakam? You know, with Lowry, he's got 1 year left. Fred VanVleet is probably going to be gone. Gasol, Ibaka. Do you think that there's any possibility, any whiff of a possibility? Do you know where I'm going with this?
I think I do.
Kawhi puts in a call to Nick Nurse and says, listen, it was cool in Toronto. It's over. Come to the Clippers. Let's win together. I like you. You like me. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, up until you just said it, no, I didn't think it was a possibility. But now
that makes sense, right?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
I'm trademarking that. I'm tweeting that right now before anybody else can.
Yeah, I mean, break the news. You know, I don't. It's a hot take for sure, but it's certainly. It makes sense. I don't know if it's a possibility.
I don't know either. Like,
I'm sure there would have to be some kind of one. I don't know that the Raptors would willingly let him out of his contract to do that. Maybe they do a trade kind of situation, right? Like how Doc got to LA. You know, the Clippers are known for trading for coaches. So,
yeah.
And they certainly don't need the draft picks.
Well, they don't have any left anyway, though.
That's right. Oh, right.
Trade. It's like,
so, yeah, dude, that's the only thing.
Maybe Shamit and Harrell. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I don't know how that works out, but that would be interesting to see.
What about Doc? Does Doc go anywhere, you think? But let's talk about Doc, because I think that, you know, and we talked about D'Antoni to the Sixers, and you don't like that. That's not set in stone. It looks like it might be happening.
Right.
But if I'm Elton Brand and Doc Rivers calls me and says, actually, I would like to throw my name in the hat there, I think I'm with that roster. I think I'd rather have Doc Rivers than
D'Antoni. I would 100% rather have Doc Rivers than Mike D'Antoni. I'd rather have Ty Lue. I'd rather have Sam Cassell. I'd rather have who else is in the mix here?
Jay Kidd, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jason Kidd. Literally, anyone but Mike D'Antoni. Please send us anybody but Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Please. I will gladly take Doc Rivers over Mike D'Antoni in this case. And I think Embiid needs to say something. If he wants to be a Sixer, and maybe they're planning for a future without him by even entertaining Mike D'Antoni. But to me, Mike D'Antoni is the Grim Reaper for Joel Embiid. So I don't know how much pull he has in that front office. Whatever pull he has needs to be exercised to get rid of the notion that we're going to hire Mike D'Antoni.
Well, I had heard, and I saw this on Twitter, that, you know, one of the reasons they were looking at D'Antoni was to potentially pull James Harden to Philly.
Yeah.
But my thought is, if James Harden liked Mike D'Antoni, he probably would still be in Houston, right?
Right, unless Unless
he wanted to leave, yeah.
Right, unless James Harden had made it clear that, like, Houston's roster couldn't be improved.
Right.
And was kind of like, yo, Mike, like, let's get out of here. Let's find somewhere else to go. Like, I don't see why he wouldn't like Mike D'Antoni. He's the perfect guard for a Mike D'Antoni system. And for his play style, someone who needs the ball in his hands, who's going to give you the ball more than Mike D'Antoni? So
right, and that's – I think I've said this before, but, like – this new coach that Harden is going to get, is Harden going to say, like, what happens when that guy draws up a real play? Like, Harden is going to say, fuck off, right? Like, he's like,
that's not what we do here, right? Not just when he draws up a play, when he draws up a play for Eric Gordon to come off a double screen.
Right,
and James Harden has to stand in the corner or move without the basketball guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's when it's like, well, what are we doing? This isn't what I signed up for. I signed up to shoot all the shots and only make the passes when I need to.
Well, so here's another thing then. If you're looking for a coach who could actually command respect enough that James Harden isn't going to say, that's not what we do here.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers might be a guy.
Yeah, right.
Who could command that kind of respect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, certainly it would be a complete 180 from the Mike D'Antoni type coaching style, so that would be interesting to see. But I don't know, man. Maybe Doc Rivers hangs it up.
You know, I was going to say, I don't think he's going to coach next year.
Maybe this is it for him. Maybe he joins the TNT crew or ESPN broadcast, something like that. I think, well, I don't know about that voice, but maybe
the voice is bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not TV, but like, I don't know. I could see him on the, you know, on a talk show, something like that.
Yeah. Or I could see him in a front office, or I could see him in a league office, really. Like,
right.
You know, especially with all the different initiatives that they're undergoing as a league with the social justice stuff.
Right.
By the way, it's not too late to still arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. It's not too late. I know they charged one with a petty little stupid thing, but it's not too late. And I could see him taking a league office job, actually. I think that would probably make a little bit of sense.
Yeah. So,
but maybe not coaching. Maybe he might not be done, but I think he takes at least a year off.
Yeah, maybe. Now, before we get to the next topic, this is a comment we had on YouTube. Yes. Yes.
Of course
he does. Goated. Goated.
Goated.
Goated. So, yeah, I got to get this jersey and my high school diploma, which isn't always the case. So yes, that is my high school jersey framed up there.
Nice job. Looks nice. That's a man cave if I ever saw one.
Yeah. So, before we move on, if you are watching our live, either on Facebook, Twitter, even on YouTube, as you can see, leave us comments. We'll post them up on the screen. If you have questions or a topic you want us to discuss, post, you know, leave it in the comments. We'll talk about it, at some point throughout the show. So if you're on Twitter, or if you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can find our Twitter handle here. And our other socials are also listed there at the bottom.
Yep. All right, let's get into Western Conference Finals wrapped up. Gentlemen's sweep. Lakers beat the Nuggets. LeBron had a historic game five. And the Lakers going back to the finals.
Yeah, man. You know, it's funny. For three straight series, a guard hit a big shot in a game that team eventually won and got a little happy about it.
Yep.
And that team ended up losing in five. Dame Lillard did it in the first game of round one. Russ did it in the first game of round two.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray hit his shimmy.
Don't shimmy on LeBron. Don't shimmy on LeBron.
And the Lakers closed them out too in the next two games. But yeah, how incredible was LeBron in game five, late down the stretch? Like, you know, if you were, you know, maybe reverse psychology kind of thing and an anti-LeBron person, maybe you should have voted for him for MVP, to put some kind of complacency, because, it does look like just from his last two games alone, that lit a fire under him for sure.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of close out this series, and he looks back in full swing, or back at, you know, prime LeBron, which doesn't need to ever end.
Well,
you know, it looks like that's back on.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it's that. Maybe there's a fire, but also like he's just the best player. And we do this thing, and we've always done it, and I did it too, and I. You know, we picked our playoff guy we wanted, and I said, I want Kawhi. I want Kawhi.
Yes, you did.
Kawhi's the guy. You can get to a spot. He plays good defense. Well, you know what? Turns out LeBron said, fuck off, Mike. You're an idiot.
Yep.
I'm LeBron James. I'm still doing this. I'm still the best player in the league. You know, we continue to throw people's names out there year after year to compete with LeBron as the best player in the league. The only one who really had a case was Kevin Durant after the 17 and 18 seasons. But LeBron is still the guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to go to his 10th finals now. You know, listen, I don't know what happened, okay? I just want to say, I've always been a LeBron guy. I've always been the biggest LeBron guy. Even before this season, before last season, when he won it in 2016, LeBron was the GOAT.
Yeah.
And something happened. Something happened in my chemical makeup in my brain. And I said, Jordan's the GOAT.
I'll tell you what happened. Because as long as I've known you that, I knew that was the case. I'll tell you what happened. The Jordan documentary.
The stupid Jordan
documentary. The Jordan documentary.
The coronavirus and the Jordan doc.
Yep.
And I missed him.
It went straight to your head, man. Because we started our podcast right towards the end of that. And all of a sudden... You had Jordan as the GOAT. You got you and Todd, who is also a known LeBron lover, who we need to get Todd back on the show, by the way. But
he'll be back.
You know, speaking of, you know, you and Todd both were known LeBron guys as long as I've known, you know, both of you. And all of a sudden, the Jordan doc aired. LeBron is no longer the GOAT. He wasn't even the best player in the playoffs. And I tried to tell you guys, I was like, hold on, wait a minute.
Sad.
LeBron's still the GOAT. I didn't, and you know what's crazy? I never thought I would be that person where I'm like going to bat for LeBron as the GOAT. But because I was a Kobe fan growing up, so I was not in on LeBron being the GOAT. And until he beat the Warriors and came back from down 3-1, I think that stamped him. But yo, it's crazy, right? How the time.
Well, he's going to his 10th finals now, third different team. And like, you know, and we can say what we want. Anthony Davis, like, you know, his probably, I think Anthony Davis right now is his best teammate he's ever had. Maybe it's D-Wade in 2011, but those are the top two. But like, look at the rest of this team. And this is the thing we always say about LeBron is like when he left Cleveland the first time, they were the worst team in the league. When he left Miami, they were actually in shambles for a couple of years. A really good organization in Miami was in shambles for 2 or 3 years after LeBron left. He leaves Cleveland the second time, same thing, worst team in the league. But, like, look at the Lakers team right now. Like, we could say what we want about Anthony Davis. Take LeBron off this Lakers team. Look at that team. I'll ask you, Coop. How many games does this team win? Caruso, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, AD, and Dwight with Rondo and KCP coming off the bench. That's a 35-40 win team. Well, I know this is true because Anthony Davis's Pelicans teams were better than that. And they couldn't make the playoffs. And if they did, they were a first-round exit. 1 year, they get out of the first round. This is special what LeBron can do with these guys. Jordan could never do this with these guys. Jordan left the Bulls. They almost made the finals. They probably should have made the finals if Scottie Pippen doesn't throw a temper tantrum maybe. LeBron is the GOAT. Put me on record. I made a mistake. I should have never said he wasn't the GOAT. It's special, man, and we get to witness it, you know. I don't know if we're ever going to see a guy do this 9 and 10 years.
Yeah.
And the only year he didn't go, he was hurt.
Right. Exactly. You know, and it, like you said, this, if you really, really look at this Lakers roster without LeBron, it's bad. Like it's not good at all, but then LeBron makes it look good, you know? And, you know, he somehow has revived Dwight Howard or maybe it's just him changing Dwight Howard's role and his expectations is what revived him. I don't know. But, like, Dwight Howard looks good, you know, and maybe his health also is factoring in that. But, like, you know, he's revived Dwight Howard, essentially. JaVale McGee has been about the same as he's been the last few years. I think he's actually been pretty solid. But, you know, Alex Caruso looks better. Only person who, like, doesn't really look better than he was is, like, Kyle Kuzma. And, of course, that's because he's not nearly getting the volume, you know what I mean, that he was getting when they were awful. So like,
and he sucks. Let's be clear.
Yeah, right. He probably wasn't as good as we thought he was. He was on a bad team. But still, a serviceable guy for the Lakers here. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's strange. And it's like there's only one person who we can really look back and say, like, dang, bro, he went to 10 finals. And 9 in the last 10 years.
It's crazy.
Like you said, the one he didn't go was a season where he missed a significant amount of time. Like, we'll probably never see that again. Like, I guess Bill Russell did something similar. But, like, there were 8 teams in the league there. And,
right.
And I'm sorry if there's an old head watching this that I'm downplaying what Bill Russell did. But, like, to do it now is totally different. And to do it with 3 franchises, one that was abysmal for its entirety and has been abysmal without him, right, in the Cavs. Then you go to the Heat, who had their one magical run, but then when he got there, obviously they were one of the best teams in the league. Obviously they won 2 straight championships there and went to 4 finals. And now he's back with a legendary franchise that wasn't so legendary. It's been 10 years since they've been back to the finals, obviously. After, you know, Kobe's prime ended, they were awful. Yeah. And he's revived this franchise. It's right. Just like everywhere he goes, he's pumping life back into the franchise. And granted, Anthony Davis had a lot to do with that as well, because he's a stud. I don't want to make it seem like we're downplaying his role in making it to these finals. But like the common denominator in 9 of the last 10 NBA Finals is LeBron James. Like, of no matter who has made it from East or West, there's one common denominator in the last decade of the NBA Finals, and that's LeBron. And there's just, you know, I think we just have to give a round of applause for that, man.
Yeah, he is special. It's just, I mean, he's the GOAT for me. I don't think if you, I think at this point, if you have him lower than two, you're just hating.
Yeah, by far.
You know what I mean?
You're Paul Pierce hating.
Well, even Paul Pierce said if he wins, he's number two, which is probably still hating a little bit.
Right.
But the Lakers, and you mentioned the roster, and we'll kind of transition this to talking about the Heat beating the Celtics. But before we do, I saw a thing on Twitter today, and I responded to it. It said, name the 10 best players in the finals. And I think LeBron and AD are 1 and 2.
By far.
But then I think the next 7 I had as Heat players. And then maybe Rondo or Dwight is in there as well.
Yeah. You certainly look at depth of the individual players. The Heat are the more well-rounded team by far. I don't even think that's a discussion. Without looking at the two rosters right now, I would agree with you that the next 7 players go into advantage of the Heat. However, we're running into a similar situation that the Lakers have been in all year with the way that they put this team together, is who guards LeBron, who guards Anthony Davis. Like, you might have one for one of them. Do you have someone for the other?
Yeah.
And in this case, the Heat actually have some of LeBron's toughest defenders, where Andre Iguodala, I think, might have a case as his toughest defender of all time. He's not quite the same that he's been, but just over their careers, I think Andre Iguodala has defended him better than anyone else, if you ask me. Jay Crowder has been used on the multiple different teams to try to be the LeBron stopper. He's not a LeBron stopper by any means. But
but here's the thing too about LeBron is no one's a LeBron stopper.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, like, I mean, but Jay Crowder can hold his own, right? Sure. Like Jay Crowder's not going to get embarrassed unless LeBron's feeling it. And you're probably not relying on him to be on LeBron for a large period. Maybe he's guarding Anthony Davis. You know, sometimes smaller defenders tend to bother AD, so that could be something that they look at. But then you have Jimmy Butler, who back when he was with Chicago, he was the guy often tasked with guarding LeBron. Granted, it didn't work out for the Bulls, but I don't know that you could necessarily just say it's because of Jimmy Butler. There were a lot of factors going into that. But, like, Jimmy Butler will obviously be a tough, you know, defender on LeBron.
Yes.
Will they hold him under 25, 27 points? Probably not. But, like, what you want to do when you're trying to defend LeBron is make him as inefficient as possible. They have 3 guys who you can kind of look at and say, all right, well, these guys can hold up against LeBron. It's not like we're putting Duncan Robinson on him. But I don't know how many guys they truly have that can guard AD. And I say that because I think Bam can guard him. But Bam has to guard Dwight or JaVale. You know what I mean? Because from a rebounding standpoint, and most likely Dwight is going to get the start at the 5. But, like, from a rebounding standpoint, you can't put Jay Crowder on Dwight Howard. That's bully ball on the boards. But I think you could put Jay Crowder on Anthony Davis. And maybe that's what they kind of look at and say, like, just try to, you know, push him off the block as far as you can, and see, you know, if we can get him as far away from the basket as possible. You know, maybe that's kind of your strategy there. But outside of Jay Crowder, then who's your next defender? Like, you need multiple defenders to throw at both of these guys, because if you want to throw a star player off, you've got to throw him different looks throughout a game. So, like, then if when Jay Crowder's not in the game, like, who are you going to? You know, when AD's at 5, you throw Bam on him. But, like, their backup bigs are not defenders at all. You have, like, Kelly Olynyk. I don't know that we'll see Myers Leonard at all in this series, but, like, he would be their other backup 4 or 5. I don't want either of those guys guarding Anthony Davis at any point throughout the game. So that's where it kind of gets tricky again, is, like, who guards AD?
And we say this every series. Who guards AD? And also, who guards LeBron?
Right.
Let's just dive into the Heat a little bit here then. I believe the Heat have to play Myers Leonard versus – well, that is an interesting take from our friend Doug, and we don't have to address that take. But – So let's talk about the Heat. They took care of the Celtics in six. Celtics kind of looked disoriented against the Heat.
Yeah.
It was not what we were expecting to see after their performance against Toronto. You know, they had a ton of turnovers in the series. The Heat didn't really even shoot that well, besides Tyler Hero in a couple of games and Duncan Robinson here and there. But they were the tougher team, and they won. So we're going to talk about the Heat here more so when we talk about this NBA Finals preview, which we already kind of started. But as far as the Celtics going forward, do you like this roster? Is there changes to be made? Are they a piece away?
I do. I think they're a piece away. I like Tice, but I don't think he's a starting center in the NBA. I think he's a very good backup. So maybe you look at a possible upgrade there, and maybe find more of someone who's better suited to play like a stretch four role. Like, I don't know, maybe you want to move Tatum to the three, maybe go with Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Tatum. And if you can find a solid like four, maybe you do that. They seem to like to start smart and then slide, you know, Brown to the three, Tatum to the four. Right. I think for that, you need a little more rim protection or maybe a more, you know, versatile five. Like, I would love this team if they still had Al Horford. I think they should have fought a little bit harder to keep him. He might have made the difference in this series against Bam. They had no answer for Bam especially in game six. He was, you know, he destroyed Tice for the most part. So I think the five position is kind of where they can make their best upgrade. And I think they need a little more guard depth. Obviously, like Gordon Hayward being fully healthy maybe changes the series. Like, even when he came back, he wasn't the same. But, you know, that's a lot of money. Also, Gordon Hayward is a lot of money to pay someone coming off the bench. I don't know if you move that contract or not. I'm sure some rebuilding team might take it, and you can find some way to do it that way in a three team or something. But sure. I think you have to get that contract off your books in order to really improve this team and add, you know, maybe Miles Turner from the Pacers.
Right.
I think he'd be a nice fit for the Celtics team as a stretch five and rim protector, or, you know, somebody of that nature, I think would be a good fit for the Celtics. So I think they're like two pieces away. I think they're a starting center and a backup guard away, like a guard who can give them some offense off the bench away from them getting past this Eastern Conference Finals, you know, stage.
Yeah, and the Gordon Hayward thing, you know, he's not himself. He'll never be his Utah self. But, you know, when we're kind of looking at this, and I was talking to Todd last night about this, actually, you know, as far as worst contracts in the league, obviously, like, John Wall is probably the worst, and Russell Westbrook's probably the second worst because they're aging guards on huge deals, and you aren't going to be able to move those. But, right. Like, Gordon Hayward is probably a top five to top ten worst contract in the league because there's no other role players on a max deal. Like,
right.
He's just coming off the bench and giving you 25 to 30 minutes a game on a max deal. That could have been money that you threw at Al Horford.
Yeah, right.
And the bench stuff, and you know, he gives you a nice pieces of, you know, they're playing Wanamaker and Semi Ojeleye less. But if they weren't paying him, they could have maybe got two or three better bench guys.
Exactly.
With that money. So I think the Gordon Hayward thing is a problem. And the last thing about the Celtics. So, like, I think we have this thing about Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens is just, when we think of best coaches, he just automatically pops to the top of our list. And we do this with football coaches too. Because he's young and he's tall and he's handsome. And we think, that guy is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so let's look at why we think Brad Stevens is this great coach. First reason, he was good at Butler, and he made the Final Four with Butler. Well, like, I got to be honest. I don't give a shit about what he did at Butler. I don't care what Rick Pitino did in college because he was terrible in the NBA. I don't care what John Calipari did in college because he was terrible in the NBA. The second thing that happened was he took that Jason Tatum rookie year led Celtics team to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's impressive. They didn't beat anybody they did not beat a single good team in the playoffs that year to make the Eastern Conference Finals. So if I'm supposed to look at that and say, well, he did that, so he must be a top five coach. He must be a top seven coach in the league.
Right.
Well, like, that doesn't actually mean that so much, okay?
Right.
When you look at what he did with his – probably his best roster was last year. And with his best roster last year, they lost in the second round. He could not get a grasp on Kyrie Irving because Kyrie didn't respect him. I think Kyrie is a problem for a lot of locker rooms. But if you're looking for a solid top five coach, you have to be able to control a player like that.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. Kyrie imploded. And now we're looking at it in the second round against Nick Nurse. Really, Brad Stevens lost the coaching battle. I know the Celtics won the series, but if you looked at the talent, you matched up the talent and you said, how should this series have gone? It should not have gone seven games. The Celtics had a lot more talent than the Raptors. They were up 2-0. They should have been up 3-0, and it ends up going seven games. Nick Nurse won that series in a coaching battle against Brad Stevens. And then you come to this series, Coach Spo kicked the actual shit out of Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
He was throwing that zone at him, and Brad Stevens, granted, a lot of it's on the players on the court, but if I'm Brad Stevens and I'm coming from college and I'm supposed to be the top five coach in the league and I'm supposed to be this young protege, smartest guy, one of the most smartest coaches in the league, I have to be able to have my guys figure out the zone.
Yeah.
At least to some degree. I feel like me and you maybe could have put our heads together and done a better job getting our guys to beat that zone. And obviously Brad Stevens, he's a smart guy. He's an NBA basketball coach. But right. To be considered one of the best, you have to be able to do something to figure this out. They struggled with it against Toronto, but they have the guys to win. They struggled with it even worse against Miami, and they couldn't figure it out. So Brad Stevens, I'm sorry, I can't have him in this top five coaching thing. He's on the fringe of top 10 for me right now, but he got his ass kicked by Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been something that is overlooked a little bit because – the Celtics have been overachieving to many people's opinions until this year. I think, they kind of went as far as we expected them to go. And, maybe if they get to the finals, we're having a different conversation. But yeah, the one thing that kind of is strange to me about this Celtics team is they don't quite move the ball like they did. You know what I mean? Like the ball gets a little bit stagnant and it's kind of like, all right, well, it's Kemba, it's your turn. We'll play through you. Or now Jaylen Brown, it's your turn. We'll play through you. Or Tatum, it's your turn. We'll play through you. You know what I mean? Where it's a lot of like one guy dominating the ball kind of thing, which is not normally what a Brad Stevens offense typically looks like.
Right.
And, I got to give some credit to my dad in this case. He kind of made a point where Brad Stevens is good at coaching lesser players, but he's not good at coaching the best players. So Brad Stevens will forever overachieve with a Butler, with the Celtics when they're young, right? And Terry Rozier, no Kyrie Irving, right? Sure. Those are the kind of teams that excel under a Brad Stevens because he does get you to buy those are the guys he gets to just buy into the system. And that when he's actually coaching his style of play, it does work. It's when he has guys who develop into stars Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are now on the rise. And, Kemba Walker has kind of taken a back seat to these guys, but he's still Kemba Walker at the end of the day. So now he's kind of has this three-headed monster where these guys are for some reason not playing off of each other. They're allowing one, two, or three one of those guys to go at certain points throughout the game rather than it being, all right, let's get some movement. Let's get some easy looks. Let's hit the middle of the zone and move the ball throughout the zone rather than trying to pick and roll the zone, mm-hmm. and things like that. There wasn't that cohesiveness amongst those three, which ultimately I think is what did them in this series and also their inability to defend Bam on the other end.
Yeah,
didn't help. So or Tyler Herro in game four. So it's I think if Brad Stevens can find a way to coach stars better, then I think we're talking about one of the best coaches in the league. That's kind of what Greg Popovich does, right? other than maybe Kawhi, Greg Popovich has always gotten every star player, and maybe it's just the type of stars he recruits, but his star players have always bought in and played Spurs basketball.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily happen with the Celtics.
Well, Phil Jackson, I mean, when we talk about Phil Jackson, I mean, the biggest thing that we can say about Phil Jackson is he took Michael Jordan and that team who didn't respect their last coach, and he made them buy in. He took Kobe and Shaq, who Kobe was the best player. I mean, not Kobe. I'm sorry. Shaq was the best player in the league. Kobe was this young protege who was smarter, had a higher basketball IQ than anybody he ever met coming up, and he made them buy in. Yeah. And then when Phil wasn't there, we saw how it went with Kobe.
Right.
So he has to figure that out. Yeah. He got his ass kicked. So let's stop talking about the Celtics because they're losers. let's talk about the Heat then. Our guy Jimmy Butler, vindicated in some way.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, man. And as someone who was okay with him not coming back, I feel responsible to continue to say that because, I was a little bit wrong. Sure. But granted, we'll revisit this 3 to 4 years from now. When he's 33 or 34, which is the real reason I didn't want them to sign him to a 5-year extension. But whatever. At this moment in time, Jimmy Butler has come out smelling like roses. And in the biggest way was he was perceived or painted as, after the Minnesota thing, this like cancerous dude in the locker room. Now, me, I never agreed with that. I never saw it that way. I saw a guy trying to elevate the level of play amongst his teammates. He finally found the culture where he could be that guy. And it's actually pretty beautiful, honestly, to see, because, he looks genuinely happy, like just from a basketball standpoint. And he's been talking about it all year, right? He's been trying to tell people like, no, this Heat team is good now. We don't need Giannis in 2021 or a big free agent in 2021. Like, we can win it right now. And they can. Like, I think they can, which we'll get to eventually, they can beat this Lakers team. Like we said, they're the more talented and deep team. Whether that'll happen, we'll get into. But they certainly can do it. And, they will do it without having one of the top five players in the league, per se, because the culture that they've developed is a healthy one. And it's been, they call it like Heat culture, right? Spo and Pat Riley have developed this culture of accountability, where no matter who you are, you come in, you put the work in. They have this ridiculous conditioning thing that even Jimmy Butler had to adjust to, to start their season. So like everybody goes through it, and it's when everybody steps into the locker room and is treated the same way, right, and held accountable the same way, that's where great cultures and things like this start to happen. A 5 seed gets to an NBA finals when everybody buys in to the culture, everybody fits the culture, and then your leader, that who is your best player, doesn't have that ego where it's like, I need to be the guy, right?
Right.
He doesn't have that kind of mentality where he's like, I have to come out and score 25 to 30 points for us to win. No, I just need to compete as hard as I possibly can so that everybody else in here will compete as hard as they possibly can. And then we'll just live with the results. And then, we'll have this mentality and this confidence amongst us where it's like, it doesn't matter who we're playing against. We know we're going to play as hard as we can. Mm-hmm. And really that scares other teams. If you ask me, when you have to play the Heat and you're like, dang man, like I got to play the Heat tonight. You know what I mean? Like I have to, this is going to be a physical game. Like they're going to be all up in my face defensively. Like as a player, that kind of stuff sits in the back of your mind, man.
Right.
And it's beautiful to see Jimmy Butler finally find a roster and a franchise where he can be that tenacious leader that, he was trying to be in Minnesota and even Philly.
All right. Do you want to play a game that I did not prepare you for? My favorite thing is to throw quick rapid fire questions at you and did not prepare you for them.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do this. So we'll do this one, like close to one word answers, or if you can. Okay. First one, Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo, true or false, is a top 10 player in the NBA?
False, but approaching.
Approaching. Okay, Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player in the NBA.
Top what?
Top 10.
Yes, true.
Top 7.
I'm trying not to have recency bias here.
But he's going to the finals.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Top 7. This might be a better question than that even. Okay, you are doing a fantasy draft of the players in the league, okay? You have your pick. You can either take Jimmy Butler for your team to be your guy, or you can take James Harden.
Ooh, I'm going to set Houston Rockets Twitter on fire. If I'm building a team, I want Jimmy Butler as my guy.
So do I.
I think it's much easier to develop a team around Jimmy Butler than it is around James Harden. You get James Harden, you have to get four standstill shooters who you pray also play defense. How often is that? You know, Jimmy Butler, you can put shooters, scorers, defenders, big men. Like, these are all types of players that you right. can fit with Jimmy Butler, and it's just easier to construct a team around him. And I think he is a better leader.
He's definitely a better leader. And the thing is, too, is like, you know, people say, like, Butler is like, you know, he's hard on his teammates, or he, you know, you might not want him with your young guys because he's going to ride them. Well, like, if they're the type of player who can't play with Jimmy Butler, I don't think I want them on my team.
No, not at all.
Right? I don't want that guy. I don't want Karl Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins who can't handle him coming at them and bringing that intensity, because, you know, and Michael Jordan and Kobe, obviously he's not close to that level, but right. that was the attitude when he was the best player on the team. And maybe, you know, he's obviously not as good as them, but, you know, that's the culture you want for your team. You don't want the Houston culture of relaxed and easygoing. Like, I want my guys to be dogs. And that's why, yeah. and I don't know if I've said this before, but I think that's why he went to Miami, right? He saw that team. He talked to Pat Riley. And mm-hmm. Pat Riley said, you don't want to stay in Philly. Look at those guys. They're not dogs. Those guys are losers. They've been losing since they came into the league. They're famous for losing. Trust the Process is about losing, yeah. right? So I think that's why Jimmy said, I don't want to play with these losers. I want guys who are dogs. And that's why I think I would take Jimmy over Harden to start my team.
And before you shoot me another one,
okay.
The Miami Heat are another example that tanking is not the way to build your franchise.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's rebuilding.
And the Celtics.
Right, right.
You don't got to care at all. You don't have to put Tony Roten as your best player to get good draft picks, guys. You don't have to build solely through the draft.
Right. Right. Okay, that's all the questions I had. That's all the questions. So I just want to see where we're now, you know, putting Jimmy Butler in our rankings, because, like, you know, when we talk about rankings, one of the things that we always bring up first things is, like, he took this team to the finals. He was the best player on this team who went to the finals. So, like, yeah. Jimmy gets a big bump now. Bam gets a big bump now. So, finals preview. I know you already kind of got into a lot of it. So, give us anything you had left plus a prediction.
So, I mean, I think some of the keys here to watch before I give my prediction – from the Heat standpoint, is transition defense. That is where the Lakers make their money, is getting out and running. But the Heat have horses, guys who are athletic and quick and can get up and down the floor. It's going to be crucial for them to be able to play this game in the half court, I think, because their half court offense is way better than LA's, if you ask me. From a spacing standpoint, from a ball movement standpoint, I like theirs a lot better. For the Lakers, I think one of their biggest keys is going to be Rondo off the bench and how the Heat deal with him defensively. The Heat guards are defensive liabilities. He's played really well throughout this postseason and has given them a completely different dynamic on the offensive end in allowing LeBron to, one, take rest and not have the ball in his hands. When they're on the floor together or when he's off the floor, they now have a second person who can make plays that they didn't have. So that's been a game changer. And how the Heat manage that is going to be crucial. And then for the Lakers, how are they going to handle that zone? Like, I think we're going to see that zone quite a bit here in this series, especially against a team that you don't think is a good shooting team. Like, they've shot it better, mm-hmm. but they're not known for hitting outside shots. And that's kind of the point of the zone is to, in some cases, the point of a zone is to kind of make you shoot from outside. However, the Lakers have offensive rebounding and guys who will crash the glass, which is one of the negatives of a zone. So will the zone work the way it did against Boston? It, you know, is remains to be seen. Just looking at this series, you know, a lot of times when you have evenly matched teams, which I think, you know, the Lakers had the star power, but the Heat had the depth. So that evens it out to me. A lot of times it comes down to who's the best player on the floor. And LeBron is the answer to that question. The second answer to that question would be Anthony Davis, especially when you're looking at matchups across the board when the Heat have to play man-to-man. You know, I'm not sure that they'll be able to handle Anthony Davis. Ultimately, I think that's what decides this series. And strangely, we've done all this talking of LeBron. Anthony Davis, I think, might be the one that wins Finals MVP here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Heat in six.
I'm sorry.
Lakers in six.
Six.
Anthony Davis wins Finals MVP. LeBron loses his first Finals MVP.
Okay. Yeah, I think the transition D thing you bring up is huge. Also, the Coach Spoelstra and LeBron dynamic, I think, is going to be probably one of the best storylines to watch, is how he defends LeBron, obviously having coached him. And not only having coached him, but having coached him at his worst in the 2011 series.
And Mavs ran his own.
And the Mavs ran his own. And probably having coached him at his best, too. Some of those you know, Miami seasons where he won MVP were some of the best LeBron we've ever seen. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how Spo attacks him with the zones, who he throws at him, what type of lineups they throw at them. You know, you might see less Duncan Robinson in this series. I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami go bigger in certain points and just stack up a zone if they do run one. You know, sometimes they throw Crowder or Iguodala at the top of the zone, and they really switch things up nicely in that zone. It's the best zone I've seen an NBA team run probably ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that being said, LeBron is too much. And I think anytime you're in a series and the two best players are on one team, you know, even if the Heat all have their best series, and that's what it's going to take, is all of them stepping up big time. Yeah. LeBron knows how to get the job done. And Anthony Davis is still the second best player in this series. The Bam AD matchup, if that is a matchup, I would assume that that's going to be a matchup at least for a lot of the time. That's a good one to watch. We'll see if Jimmy, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if when they're in man, Jimmy kind of raises his hand and says, "I got Bron." You know what I mean? Because he kind of looks at himself as that level, right? I think when Jimmy approaches this series, and this is one of the reasons we like Jimmy as well, is he looks at it and says, "Yeah, it's me and LeBron. Of course it's me and LeBron." And he wants to probably guard LeBron. So, you know, it's going to be tough. I think every game is close. Every game is going to be – this is one of those ones that every game is close, but I got Lakers in five. I think the Heat get game two, and it's 1-1, but then they do the gentleman sweep. Every game is close except maybe one of them, game four. Maybe it's game five to close out. But I think LeBron and AD are just too much. But credit to this Heat team. I think they're, you know, I think they are the second best team in the league. I just think the Lakers are this good.
Now we got a fan question. If Miami were to win, who on that team is more likely to win MVP, Bam or Jimmy Butler? I think that's a valid question.
I think that's a great question. I would probably go with Bam, because if they win, that means they're probably shutting down Anthony Davis to some degree, and that's probably going to fall on Bam. Also, if you watch him offensively in game six against Boston, 30 points, 15 plus rebounds, you know, he really does it all. And the other thing about him is we know what he does defensively. The offense actually goes through him more than it does anybody else. And Jimmy, as good as Jimmy is, and as much as we love Jimmy, you know, when we're talking about scoring and we're talking about who's going to win MVP in the series, Jimmy actually hasn't really been doing that so much in a high degree. I mean, he's had games where he's 12, 15 points. I think he only cracked 20 points once or twice in the Eastern Conference Finals. So he's probably not going to put up these huge numbers and win the MVP. If he does win the MVP, it's probably be because they have five or six guys scoring in double figures. Maybe they have five guys scoring 15-plus, and he's maybe leading the way. And because he's, you know, maybe he takes on the defensive assignment of LeBron, even though I think they're probably going to throw Crowder and Iguodala more so at LeBron and have Jimmy, you know, pick his spots almost. But also, if Miami were to win, I don't think Miami's going to win. Tyler Herro would be a candidate for MVP as well. Because if they win, they're going to need big games out of Tyler Herro, similar to the 37-point performance. You know, probably not that much, but he's going to have to be averaging close to 25 points a game, and he's going to have to make six threes a game. So Tyler Herro might be a good dark horse. If you think the Heat are going to win, maybe he's a dark horse. But I would say the Lakers are going to win. So, you know, there's a lot of good players in this series.
Yeah, yeah. So I would agree with that. I would say Bam would be the guy who likely wins MVP if Miami does pull it off. Simply, like, for all the reasons you just said, they mostly play and run their offense through Bam. And I think a lot of times, like, the better he plays, the more likely they are to win. So if they're going to win this series, Bam's going to have to be the best player on the floor for them. If they get that kind of production out of Tyler Herro off the bench, he does become a candidate as well. I think Dragic is another guy that we
absolutely
have to look out for in this case, because he was really good against the Celtics, you know, as far as – especially on the offensive end.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is another series where he could get off again. You know, the Lakers guards have been pretty good defensively, you know, but – you know, I would like the matchup for Goran Dragic with the way he's been playing. So, you know, I think he's another dark horse if Miami were to win it in that case. But yeah, I would say Bam is probably the best, you know, best one.
Yeah, I go with Bam for the Heat. Okay, so I've got Lakers in five. You've got Lakers in six.
Yep.
That's pretty much all we had basketball talk today. That's all we had for the live show. Anything else, Coop?
Yes. Thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode. Make sure if you're watching on whatever platform you're watching on, you find our YouTube link. It's on our Facebook, Twitter pages. And go hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening in on audio, make sure you leave a like and a rating as well. Make sure you are subscribing on the audio platform that you're listening on. Remember, you can find our audio versions on Apple, Spotify, Google, Overcast, pretty much any platform streaming podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So make sure you are subscribed to this YouTube channel. Turn on the notification button. So we are live today. We are going to go live a lot of the time. So turn on the notifications and you'll know exactly when we go live, and you can tune in and you can ask us questions as we go, and your comments will maybe appear on the screen as we go, and we might just talk about them like we just did with that Bam or Jimmy MVP discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at @all_in_pod. Go to the website, allinnetwork.net. We have a lot of great content on the blog nowadays. Politics, culture, world news, and sports, of course, are all on there. That's the place to go to see it all. Allinnetwork.net. That's all we got today, guys. Thank you for tuning into the live show, and go subscribe and go download those audio plays. Thanks for listening.
See you guys later this week.
Thanks, guys.